Like to say, I appreciate the lesson Brother Brandon brought this morning. Inspiring lesson. I appreciate Britt's prayer just now. He mentioned some things in there I think will help us in this lesson, talking about trying to have a good day in your day. And for those that are around us, hopefully they'll see something and start asking questions, and it can lead to that hope about Jesus Christ. And I appreciate his prayers. And I believe that's what this is going to get into, the fruits of the Spirit. When you think about the unity of the fruits of the Spirit, there's nine aspects of that that we have a combination of that makes up that unity of the Spirit. And when you think about it in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Which one of these is the most important? Well, they're all important. Of course they are. But it's a combination of these things that we are to have in our Christian life. And we'll look at a scripture here in a short bit about the unity of the Spirit that needs to have these all combined together. You know, when you think about these, this is something as a Christian, maybe it takes time to grow into this and get all these things combined all together at the same time. But it is something that we really cannot just take one of these out and leave out. What we're going to be speaking on from these nine that we're looking at is going to be long-suffering. In my lesson, I've got it circled. Actually, I need to hit another slide here, I think. There we go. Long-suffering. I forgot I've got it on the next slide. When you think about long-suffering, we're going to see this particular part in detail here in just a moment. But let me kind of give you an introduction so far into this lesson, talking about long-suffering. Throughout the Bible, we're going to look at long-suffering of God and of Jesus. Then we're going to look at some of the long-suffering of the children of Israel, what they went through. We're going to look at the long-suffering of Noah in the times of Noah when he was building the ark. And we're going to see, or actually God, when he was building the ark, he was the one that was waiting on it to be built. But we're going to see the long-suffering of David and what he went through from King Saul and what he had to discipline himself how to be. It was really hard on King David at that time from King Saul, so he had to discipline himself in that area. There's a lot of things about long-suffering that we can look at throughout the Bible for ourselves also. It's a combination of looking at all these scriptures of God, Jesus, David, Noah, and a combination to see how we are to be in long-suffering. So when we think about that, we're going to look at the word definition of long-suffering first. Strong's, we see it's macrothumia, the Greek on it, how to say it, I guess. But it means to be long-tempered, which is opposite of short-tempered. And this is something that we need to think about in our Christian lives. But theirs definition is patience, forbearance, long-suffering, slowness in avenging wrongs. You know, when you think about this word definition, you really can think about yourself for a moment. And I'm going to do like Brandon here for a moment, and I don't want to a raise of hands, but I would like to ask a question. And you think to yourself, you can examine your own selves. What just gets under your skin throughout the day, through your life, that makes you angry? What gets under your skin where you're just like, oh my goodness gracious. Is it when you go to the counter and you have to train somebody behind the counter how to count change back to you? Or when you give them a coupon, you have to train them how to use that coupon so you can get your $5 off? Is it a mail delivery not working out and you're on the phone and you're trying to track? How does our patience go in all these areas throughout a daily life? Sometimes when we get on the phone anymore and we get this marketing call, you know, I get impatient, you know, and it's like, hey, put me on your do not call list. So you just cop his attitude right off the get-go. So whenever we think about our Christian life, is really, if these things come out, and if we can just take a step back and look outward in and see how we are acting in those areas of times, we can make a judgment call on ourselves and examine ourselves like, oh, you know, I need to do that better. I really failed at that. You know, when I was a young man, I can remember, really, the point I want to make on this long suffering is it's hope in Jesus Christ, and it's going to come to that. It always does. But for us as Christians throughout our life, we've got to act a certain way. And when we think about long-suffering, you think to yourself, well, you know, I was a young man then. Well, as you grow up older, you hope these things to come into your life that you become more long-suffering. You have more patience, right? And sometimes it doesn't work that way. But as a young man, I mean, you didn't know me as a young man. I was not with Bonnie until 1984. Then we started coming up here at Thanksgivings and getting to know y'all some. Then more so when we moved up here and going to church. But when I was a young man, I'd fight at the drop of a hat. You know, it didn't matter. I would get angry. I would fight. I would do things that I was not proud of doing. And as I've got a couple of beatings in fighting, I found out that ain't working too good. There's always somebody bigger and stronger. It's always somebody that's got more money. It's always somebody that's better looking. There's always somebody that just seems like it's always better for them, that this world is unfair. And you get these attitudes, you know. When I was a kiddo, there was one young man. Oh, he made fun of my baseball glove, and that was it. I was a little old poor boy, had a little cheap baseball glove. And it just went all over me. And it was on. And he gave me a good beat. Of course, he had the high-dollar leather glove. But if you think about it, when you get into growing up as an adult, sometimes it just don't change the pride of life, the things that we see, what we want in this life. And when it don't work out and this world seems to be treating you wrong, we get this attitude of anger a lot of times. You know, anger is something that we got to control and have patience in our lives as a Christian. Let's get into this lesson. Example of God's long-suffering towards man, 1 Peter 3:20. When you read this, we can find out that something about Noah and about God and that relationship that will teach us about long-suffering. When sometimes we're disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. You know, at this time, God had decided to destroy man. You can read the Bible in that area in Genesis and find out that man's ways and thoughts were evil continually. And he was not happy with that. And he said, I'm going to destroy this. And he got with Noah and asked him, he said, I want you to build this boat. Or he told him, he didn't ask him, he said, I want you to build this boat. And I want you to take your family in, take these animals in, because I'm going to destroy the world. And so we see here the long-suffering of God. And you think about this a minute. We're not going to get into God's mind, I mean, as humans. But God is sitting here with the power to destroy all of man, but yet it's given him a time frame for them to be saved, for Noah to take that life and to move it on. There was a span there when it says, I believe it's on up in the top part of Genesis there, above this, or in Genesis, that it talks about a span of about 120 years, the time he towed Noah and that boat was built and is ready to be floating. So, you think about that a moment. God is waiting on this. It's not going to be done overnight. The wood's got to be milled. It's got to be taken down. It's got to be built. And I believe part of that too, I believe that part of that was for man that was left there to be looking at that boat and saying, what is that? But there was no repentance. They still had that same attitude of thoughts evil continually. So you have this big boat being built, never seen rain. And at this time, Noah's building this because he was a faithful man. He did exactly what God said. So we see here the long-suffering of God when he could have wiped out man completely, but yet he made it continue to go on. God is long-suffering. It's long-suffering when we read here in Nehemiah also, 9:16. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkeneth not to thy commandments and refused to obey, neither were mindful of the wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Nehemiah here, reading, again, if you go above into Nehemiah, like in around chapter 1, you really start seeing what's going on in here with the children of Israel and towards the nations of Israel. As they got those commandments from Moses, and they were told, you obey these commandments, and you listen to them and you do them. And he said, you'll be blessed, you'll be at peace. But if you don't, he said, well, I'm going to scatter you. And there was constant fighting between them, as you know, between nations that they had to come and conquer them. There was no peace, and they were being scattered. And that's what was still going on. And Nehemiah, when he had heard about the things that was going on in Jerusalem, on up there in the further chapters, he went and he prayed, and he was sorrowful. And he's saying, God, I'm so sorry for what we have done. He included himself. We have not obeyed what you told through the law of Moses. We didn't do those statutes. And now we're paying the price. And so we see here the long suffering of God here again to Nehemiah. When Nehemiah went to him in prayer, God was a blessing for them at that time. Just one more time, Lord. And it was time after time after time and after time again with children of Israel, as you know. And we find out with our own selves that we can be that way, that time after time and after time that we need forgiveness of our sins. And we do, just like the children of Israel. So we find out here in the scriptures that God is continued to be long-suffering in the days of children of Israel and through the times all the way down to us. It's the same way. God is still long-suffering. In 2 Peter 3:7-9, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It always comes to that, doesn't it? That hope in Jesus Christ. He is still long-suffering, that none should perish. The children of Israel, he didn't want to perish. The days when Noah was there, he wanted life to continue. And he wants life to continue for us also. God is still long-suffering. We can read in 1 Timothy 1:15-16. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul speaking. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show with forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You know, Paul, we see the life that he lived. We understand the life that was before that of Paul, of Saul, and how he persecuted Christians. And we've seen when Christ appeared to him that it changed his life. And we know the life that he lived after that. It's what he's talking about, that Jesus used him as a pattern to, for those to believe on him to life everlasting for afterwards. So we still continue to have Christ and his long-suffering. So what's the purpose of long-suffering? When you think about it, it's been led to repentance. You know, we can list all the things about what we consider to be long-suffering in this world for us. You know, you put forth all the little things that aggravate us and maybe the discomforts of this world. Maybe it was a deal where someone didn't show you any respect, was not courteous to you, or said bad things to you, or did whatever, and feelings were hurt, and you had things that happens, and they just weren't friendly or whatever. You know, all these things we think about, and we put into our minds that, really, is it that bad? I mean, if you take a step back and start looking more about what Christ went through, of the beating, of the spitting on, the ridicule, to be put to death, the worst death that a man could be put to death with. And the shame and all that. And the prophecies was pointed that way, and he knew that he was going to die. He took it in all faithfulness from his Father all the way to the cross. But it's for us to be led to repentance, this long-suffering. Romans 2:4, it says here, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? You know, speaking here, Paul in Romans, it really comes down to what we've been talking about. It comes down to talking a word to the children of Israel, and they didn't listen. And God said, if you don't honor this, if you're not going to love me and keep those commandments, it ain't going to work out for you. But if we do, if we decide as Christians, and when we obey the gospel, and we pay heed to those things that are in the Bible as the gospel, we're going to be led to repentance. And we're not going to despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance. We're not going to do that. And we will have the long suffering of that. We know the goodness of God leads to repentance. It's also that we might have salvation is the purpose of long suffering. 2 Peter 3:15, in account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Just speaking about what in Peter there, what he's talking about in 2 and 4. We see the scriptures pointing that way all the time throughout the Bible. Long suffering of Jesus Christ. And we take on so many of the times upon ourselves and we get into this little shell of what was said, of what was done, and I'm angry, and I kid with Bonnie sometimes. I'll get a little attitude and she said, "You're just hangry." I said, "What?" She said, "You're hangry. You're hungry. You need your blood changed. You need to eat. You're hangry." And we'll get tickled about that. But, you know, it seems like the world right now has become an angry place. You know what? We went to, Addison, I'm trying to come up with the words. Addison, Texas, see grandkids. And on the way back, I believe, when we stopped in the bookstore there at South Lake, we sit down, need to do a little work. I had my computer. I flipped it up, trying to look cool, you know. Well, it wasn't too cool because somebody remotely, I think, hacked in while we were there. And what they did, they were trying to scam us. So Bonnie gets on the horn and calls her cousin, which is IT person, knows a lot more than we do about computers. So, you know what? They were trying to scam me out of some money. She said, "Oh, don't worry about it. We'll get you out of this deal." And she was throwing all these alerts up and everything that you had been violated and we had to call a number. Well, they were wanting some of my money. And they were scamming me. And that does make me angry. You know, you can get angry and sin not, but I was angry. And I'm not sure I probably would have sinned if I could have caught the person who remotely put the scam on my computer. But Bonnie is calling to her cousin and talking us through this deal, and it all come off. But they're going to get some money out of you. How do we be in this life when all these things go on like that, really, in our lives? How do we control that? I want to tell you something. If you're an angry person and it gets away from you, you're about that close if it ever gets to a point where you do something. And God forbid that you ever do, that you get put in jail. You go to prison. You have a real bad relationship with in-laws. You have a bad relationship with son-in-laws. You have a bad relationship with sisters or brothers or whatever. If that part of our life can get controlled, God's going to be much happier with us and we're going to be better people because of it. But that is just the point on anger. If it gets away from you, if we don't keep it reeled in, if we don't learn how to control it, we're really not showing long suffering in our life as a Christian. We'll just be like the rest of the world. But it leads to controlling anger, and it is a part of that fruit of the Spirit, a unity that we must have together. Is long-suffering. It's right there with joy, love, peace, and the rest of it. So we've got to practice that. Long-suffering of David. You know, you think about things that happen to us. And I'm going to tell you something. Things that get under my skin ain't nothing what these folks went through. Not anything. No comparison. Long-suffering of David. Let's look at some of the stuff that he went through. You remember the relationship that King Saul and David. King Saul was just jealous of David. Wanted to kill him. And many times David eluded this and it always seemed to outsmart him, didn't he? Well, it's time in the cave in 1 Samuel 24 and 10. "Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord hath delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me to kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." David was committed to long suffering out of respect to the Lord's anointed King Saul. Even through what all King Saul did to David, he loved the Lord more, and he was going to see that he honored God in his actions. Long suffering of David in the camp, 1 Samuel 26, 9 and 10. "And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said, furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend in battle and perish." David demonstrated slowness in avenging wrongs. He wasn't killed by David. Now, don't think I'm mistaken. And elders, y'all tell me later if I am, but I believe Saul fell on his own spear in battle. I believe he took his own life. That's the way he ended up. But David showed long-suffering, patience, shortness of anger. You know, these all are examples that we have because there is necessity of long suffering. It's needful in our lives. Luke 17, 3 and 4. "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him not. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. We see now how in these scriptures that we are to be long-suffering, that we can forgive when someone does trespass against us. And you know, it's something that we really learned as little children in kindergarten is how to say I'm sorry and how to get along. As our Christian life goes, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, with our co-workers, with our friends at school, with whomever we come around, if there's a problem, there's issues, the right thing to do would be if somebody comes up and says, hey, I want to repent of something, and I need you to forgive me. Will you forgive me? And we as Christians are obligated to say, yes, I forgive you. So now it's, again, that same person comes up and says, hey, I've done it again. Will you forgive me? And then another time, will you forgive me? It says here seven times. So after that seventh, are we good just to give them a thrashing after that? I don't think so. This terminology here is a continued giving them forgiveness. We all know the scriptures on that. We are to be continued giving forgiveness. So if in our lifetime, we need to forgive when someone comes up and says, hey, I'm sorry. So this is where we've seen in the scriptures is the forbearance. And that the basically, brothers and sisters, we're to take it. We're to take it. I don't believe it gives that person who is shelling it out the permission to act that way. I think they need to stop. I believe they need to stop. But at the same time, we as Christians, if they did it, we were to say, hey, I'm sorry. So it, as Christians, we know how to treat each other. We know that we shouldn't be going around and saying things and doing things that's going to require us to have to go back later and say, hey, you know, forgive me. That's not the attitude. So the necessity of long-suffering is there. And why is that? Why is it long-suffering? As a moment ago, I mentioned long-suffering will help maintain unity of spirit. If you think about unity of spirit and long-suffering that takes us in to make that all be one shell of the joy and the peace and the all of that part of the unity, that nine things, if we pull long-suffering out, it's not unity of the spirit. It just is not. It's been divided now. So the unity of the spirit talking here in Ephesians 4, it helps us to walk worthy of our calling. Ephesians 4, 1 and 3, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So this is the scripture that is so important to remember. If we're going to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, long suffering. We've got to include that as all the other rest of the eight. Without long suffering, the sins that we commit against one another will quickly destroy the unity for which Christ died. And Christ wants us living by this. He wants us living by the fruits of the Spirit. And that it has union. Paul used long-suffering to preach the word. As Paul charged Timothy, 2 Timothy 4 and 2, he says here, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We can see here in 2 Timothy also, he demonstrated by example. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Can you imagine the peace that we have to sit here and together and for a man to come up and speak before you and we're not being just, you know, divided or someone trying to break it up or someone going to jail because of it or whatever. But Paul, for him, it was not that way many times. And at that time, the church was suffering a lot of persecution. But at the same time, if they had someone speaking in a way that was different, he's wanting peace in any way to avoid a fight. He's going to contend for the truth, but yet he's going to do it without going in a rage or going angry, getting red-faced and screaming and all that. So there is a necessary things about long suffering as far as the aspect of that word, what we know about it now, just to preach the word, to be able to do it in a way that's meek. Long suffering helped Paul to faithfully correct opposition. And so if we had someone come in here and said, well, you know, I don't believe in this or I don't believe in that, we can see here from this scripture that we need to have meekness. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So if we're going to speak the truth, we need to do so with meekness and not show ourselves out in anger of any way or treating that person in a wrong way. Developing long suffering. You know, this is something that, you know, I don't know why people are so different sometimes, so like it sometimes, but so different too. You know, you think about this world and when developing long suffering, it's not easy for some people. It's just not. It's easy for some. And I'm going to tell you what I think, and you got your thought souls, think souls. You're lived in a different environment as I did. All of you did. Maybe genetically you're made up a certain way. Maybe there's things that happen in your life wasn't easy. All these combinations of things that come together might make us a little bit more apt to fly off the handle. Have that anger in us. Is it still wrong? You bet. Still sin. Doesn't matter for all the reasons. Just like right now, and this angers me inside, but I try not to sin. When I hear somebody goes and breaks the law in a bad way, does the shootings, and they pull the card of mental illness, I want to tell you something. It's called evil. They've got the nomenclature on that wrong. It's evil. I don't care what environment that we grew up in and how we were treated and how we grew up in life or about our genetics. If you're angry, it's still sin. It's just like shooting someone is sin, murder. And God said that. But yet the world today, well, you know, this person's mentally ill. Okay. Well, but the loved ones have lost a bunch of kids or men or whomever that was murdered. And the laws of the land still says, you call it murder. And God calls it murder. For us as Christians, if we don't have long suffering and we're easily flying off the handle with anything, it's sin. And as Christians, we need to, again, reel that in and figure out what it is in our life, whether it's with our wife, whether it's with our husband, whether it's with our kinfolks, our coworkers, our friends at school, whatever gets under your skin, you've got to take a step back and look at yourself from outside in and see how you look and I look. And if there's other people looking at it and saying, is that person really striving to practice what they preach? And if we're not, then we've got to examine ourselves. 1 Corinthians, how do we develop these things? I believe you do spiritually. I believe you go inside spiritually and you do it through a few things here and we're going to look at that. I think there's some physical exercise you might try that will help you and maybe some books that you can read, and the world's going to throw at you a lot of outside things that you can do. Reading is good. Reading in the Bible spiritually how to take care of those things. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity or love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doeth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. But whether there be no prophecies, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. We see in the scriptures, when you develop long suffering, you put love in there in your life, it's going to help you to bear all things and to endure all things. And when the word beareth, you know, you can look in the different scriptures in a lot of areas. When you're bearing those things, a lot of times people are going to treat you wrong. They're going to sin towards you in a wrong way. They're just going to do it. We're human. And that's part of that bearing and long suffering that we as Christians, if we can take it and, but say stop and not show our anger, but just say stop yes, you're forgiven, life would be so much better. But so many of the times these things will show out in ourselves in the wrong way. So we need to develop long-suffering through love. Prayer will help. Colossians 1, 9 through 11, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Prayer. You know, if we have something physically wrong with us, and we do all the time, we have announcements of people who are in bad ways, we ask for help through prayer for them. How much more so spiritually should we do that for ourselves? I've got this bad habit. If you go to a brother, an elder, someone that you're accountable to and say, hey, I got this going on in my life, and, you know, and I don't know how to get a handle on it, and visit with them, go to scriptures, talk about it, put the scriptures in your head and start praying. Nehemiah is praying for a whole nation to God with some big problems. If you have big problems in that area, God is faithful to help you and to cure you of that. And he will take that away. He will help you so much. Prayer will help. In conclusion, if you'll take a Bible, we're going to have a reading here in Psalms just a moment. Psalms 86 and 15 says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. We can see that God has revealed himself time and time to be long-suffering as we have read. He is long-suffering for you. And it always points to salvation. It points to repentance. If you'll turn to Psalms 103, verse 8, we'll read there. We're going to be thinking about an invitation as we read this. We'll still offer the invitation in just a moment, but just keep in your mind the mercy that God has for you and I as we read this. Psalms 103, 8 and 8, and I'm going to get a drink of water as you turn there. I've gotten dry. Starting in the 8th verse, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. We see in the scripture here how much mercy God and how much compassion he has for his children. We can read that God knows us. He knows that we are his dust. He knows that one day, just like he knew the number of days of the people on the earth when he talked to Noah. And he said, man is not going to be anymore. When he told Noah about that 120-year span. God gave man another chance, and he still gives us another chance time and time after again in his long-suffering and has compassion. But he also says, I have compassion to those who keep my commandments, who knows what my will is. And I hope and pray at this time that you have obeyed the gospel. That you know that Jesus died on that cross. He went in the grave. He arose again the third day. We understand the gospel. But have you committed yourself to that? Do you believe in those things that Jesus Christ raised up from the grave that third day? Do you believe in that? That's one of the things we're to do is hear the word, to believe it, to confess our sins, repent of our sins, and to be baptized.